Are we back on?
Welcome again. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and we're starting in on HBM Revisited, and we're on Chapter 10. Chapter 10 is one of our more important chapters in this book that we're studying called The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus by E.J. Gold. And Simon, if you're still there, I'd love it if you could get us started and read the header for us on Chapter 10.
By all means, yeah, here we go. Chapter 10, The Machine as an Electrical Field. The human biological machine is a powerful dominant electrical field which can, if its transformational functions are activated by the waking state, act electrically upon the essential self, another less powerful but more subtle electrical field which forms the true self.
So, you know, we have everybody on has been here for either a number of weeks as we've gone through HBM or a number of months or a couple of years as we've gone through a number of the different volumes. So do we understand at least the basic mechanics of the phrase activated by the waking state? Do we have the beginnings of that understanding?
Okay, here.
And the is the answer yes, that you do?
Yes, yes, I got it.
Good. And so as we've discussed in the previous chapters and over the years, it's the idea of placing the attention on the sleeping machine. But now suddenly we have this new idea, and what we've talked about is that the human biological machine is really, it's a moving centrum, it's a physical object, it's a mental centrum, it's a thinking object, and it's an emotional centrum. It's a feeling, or more accurately, a reactive element. That bundle is called the human biological machine. And now, in this chapter, the author is introducing it, says, hey, that is an electrical field. It's an electrical field. Not just those things that I've just said, but it's actually an electrical field. And what does he say? It's a powerful, dominant electrical field, which can, if its transformational functions are activated by the waking state, act electrically upon the essential self. That's remarkable. Remarkable that that's suddenly it's being laid out in such a simple, straightforward manner. What is function and how does transformation occur? Not a matter of changing behavior. It's a matter of awakening the machine. That's how we begin. Okay? Make sense?
Makes sense.
So, totally.
Okay. And we start the chapter, and there's a discussion of the Galvani experiments, and we're all familiar with those. And we're also beginning to see it even in a more subtle manner when we're starting to study quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics really started emerging in the 20s out of the work that Einstein and others did. Heisenberg, who we heard last week, was one of those. And one of the things that's so critical for me is this idea of field theory, that it points more to and it supports the concept that this is an electrical field. And I want to say, well, this is my body. This is me. I'm the guy you're talking to. Okay? That's who I am. But change your mentality for a second. And what if that is an electrical field?
Have you had that experience? Talk about later about some experiences that you could have as an electrical, feeling electrified.
Tell me about it.
I heard my mother say one time that she had a great shock happened to her. And she said, a mental shock. You know, somebody said something to her or somebody died. I'm not really sure exactly what it was. But something happened to her that she considered of great import. And she said, it felt like an electrical shock just ran through me. So, you know, I've had that feeling too sometimes where you have something happen.
And we see this, we actually see it incorporated into the language. That was shocking. That shocked me. It was electrifying. Various words like that. It's becoming incorporated, but we don't take it to the next level and say, well, what does that mean? Why does it feel electrical? What about that? Your mother noted it properly.
Mm-hmm. She had a physical sensation to a...
She had an electrical sensation.
Yeah, electrical sensation to...
Whatever
to some sort of physical... Or mental or emotional
event of some sort
that caused a physical manifestation in her body, and that's really interesting as well.
And if we jump forward a little to page 83 at this very first paragraph, it says, "Eventually, we inevitably discover that true mastery of the self is mastery." Of the electrical field of which the self is composed.
Can I ask a question there, David?
Please.
A single electrical field seems to indicate a single electrical charge. And I'm thinking that what we're talking about is not electrical energy per se, but life force energy, which we also refer to as prana and chi. And maybe it's not a single electrical charge we're talking about either, and that is why we have to master something.
Well, you're right. All of those words are words that describe the concept of the human biological machine as an electrical field. The machine is an electrical field. And it's not a single volt of electricity. It's a field, but it's an electrical field. And in a couple of chapters, we're going to discover, I think when we get to chapter, I believe it's chapter 13, and the heading on that chapter, oh no, it's not 13, I'm sorry. It's 12, two chapters. It's the essential self as an electrical field. And we're going to see them compared and contrasted.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of that is, if it's an electrical field, and it's somehow activated by this thing called the essential attention, what happens at that point? That event is called waking up. Now, as we get, maybe it's possible, very thinly possible, that the next book we might work on is Life in the Labyrinth. And in Life in the Labyrinth, if you read the first paragraph or the first chapter or two, you start to see that it's assumed that your ability to work in this way, of working with your attention on the human biological machine, that it's rock steady a bit. You know, that's something that's natural in your work, to work in that manner. So we're not exactly looking at, we know how to work with it. And there are other elements that we're going to see as we understand that we are an electrical force, an electrical body. We can start to see something about our interaction with others, too.
I was sort of getting that we're a field within a field.
Well, there's no question that that's the case.
Yeah.
But we can work on our field at the moment. That's something we can do now. Mm-hmm. That's the responsibility we can take on. That's the mantle that we can take on. I'm going to read this next paragraph. Go ahead, Simon.
No, I have a comment here from Silverdale. And it says, I think of like an electrical wire in which the human biological machine is like the plastic outer covering, and the copper wire within is the life force animating the HBM. Or better said, the electricity of the life force, essential self, non-phenomenal self, animated the plastic coating of the HBM.
Keep writing, Silverdale.
So if we had a couple of wires running in, one being the essential self, and which is our inner field, and so we might make an analogy of several wires running inside that plastic coating.
For right now, we can just work with the simplicity of placing your attention on the electrical field called the human biological machine. Now, we know a simple way of doing that, and that's placing your attention on the physical movement of the body. Exercise it as well and place that same attention on the mental flow, the stream, what I call the monkey mind. That's also a form of placing that attention on the machine. And then also, when you get yourself into an emotion, watch that too. Place your attention on it. Watch it scatter itself and what it does with its energy and its electrical shocks.
And David, if I may say, that is in reference as the keys that the author is mentioning, how to activate the mental and emotional keys.
Precisely.
Correct.
So, as we proceed in the reading a little bit, it says, not only are most human beings unable to function as a living electrical dynamo, they are running on dead batteries because the electrical force is dissipated by nervous, fidgeting, agitation, worry, wrong foods, ragged breathing, melancholy, deep irritability, emotional upheavals, one of my favorites, self-pity, and other destructive habits of the machine. And you all, I guarantee you, have your favorites that you bring to the party to dissipate and run that energy off. There's a reason why that happens, why that excess energy, you don't know what to do with it. So you emote it, or you're a physical type, so you run or something like that to dissipate or run it off as you do like with a capacitor, you know, that builds up and then you run the charge off. The machine's function as a machine is both electrical and chemical. For instance, when the machine is startled, frightened, or upset, adrenaline is automatically released, and immediately we sense definite chemical and electrical changes, and so on as we move forward.
So that's about when my mom was saying.
That's right.
Feels like an electric shock just ran through me.
And then as I skip over to page 84.
That would be probably 57.
57 or so. Mm-hmm. Much of our ordinary muscle tension is the result of an overabundance of electrical force in the muscle. The tissue becomes tense as electrical resistance builds up. The muscle builds a charge and is unable to release it. We say that electrical force has packed up in the muscle. And we're going to talk about that a bit when we get to the repair of the machine, which is the next one. How do you deal with that? Because a lot of our electrical energy is stored up in the machine in a non-useful manner. What does useful mean? Useful means transformative or not transformative. So if we burn it off, then it's just burnt off. But a lot of it, because of what I, which we'll look at, we'll call, it's going to be called electrical anomalies, that energy is stuck in different places. Okay? Think of the human biological machine as a transformational apparatus, which, because it is a powerful, dominant field, and this is, once again, as of the header, this dominant electrical field can, if it is properly activated, by which we mean awake, act electrically upon the essential self, which is another, less powerful, the more subtle electrical field. What does that say to you guys? What is that interplay then?
Well, it seems to me that we have a partnership here.
Nice.
Of electrical fields. That they are bound to each other. And I have the analogy, and this is an analogy, of course. When you jump start a car battery, the battery in the car, that you need a stronger battery to activate the lower battery.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then the car runs, and it can charge, but it has to be awakened, I guess.
That's right. A nice, really nice analogy, this partnership.
Really nice, yeah.
Okay. Under the influence of the awakened human biological machine, the essential self will undergo a series of transformation which are electrical in nature. What are those? What is that series of transformations? What might it look like? What would it seem like if you've been doing this and these occur? I'll tell you one thing. It's hard to notice because it's so subtle. But after a period of time and you look back, it becomes obvious. It's also clear to others.
Can I answer, David?
Please. Fantastic.
It seems that it might be easier for some other person to notice when the change happens if it's anger, and all of a sudden you're a joyful person. But I cannot say that I didn't notice it when my anger went away. I did notice it. So
yeah.
It's a process of going from the lower emotional center to the higher emotional center. That's what it means to transform in that case.
That's one of the characteristics. Absolutely. That's a very good example then. Go ahead, Simon.
No. I wanted to add to what Agnidaya says, that in my case, I cannot notice it in a way of electricity or that kind of sensing, but definitely any kind of electricity of the non-phenomenal self, it manifests in attitudes, in conducts, in emotions, in movements, and I can observe those changes.
So your objective is not to change the behavior, but when you start to operate more from the essential self, behavior changes on its own.
Absolutely, and that is a indicatory that the electrical field of the non-phenomenal self is changing.
If I recall, Silver Lake has used a term that might help us here. Do you guys remember the term?
Silverdale.
Silverdale.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something happens in this process. He speaks of the higher vibratory sensation. Am I getting that right? Silverdale, you can type it in.
Yes, you are, David, and I'll tell you what my experience has reflected to me is that our I'm only sharing with you my experience and my opinion. I may be completely wrong, but all of this material we're studying is based on an understanding of what Gurdjieff, the foundation that Gurdjieff laid down. So I'm really summarizing what Gurdjieff has to say about this matter as well. Our non-essential self would be perceived by us as a vibratory sensation. With the passage of time, as I made a comment here earlier, you can actually increase the concentration of that vibratory sensation to the degree where you can produce an electrical shock in your body, like putting your finger in an electrical socket. And I mean, in my case, you know, when I raise it to that level and shock myself, my body will go up and off the bed, as just one example. But what I've gradually come to see is that there is little or no change to my historical personality. It seems as though I'm crystallized in my historical personality. But as I'm observing my non-essential self mature and develop, that is that vibratory sensation, my perception of light increases. Light and infinite extension, which would be the higher mental, I think, and then that vibratory sensation proves to be a tranquilizing, harmonious experience, which makes the feelings a lot better. And then, of course, my body is in a state of relaxation. So anyway.
Yeah, and I think, and others have shared with me, I know you have, Sandra, some remarkable experiences that occur because of a lot of work that has gone on beforehand. This is not like, and then suddenly it occurs.
Mm-hmm.
These are individuals. Silverdale has been working diligently for years. And dare I say, I'll characterize it, these are my words, but it's like many, many, many small steps. But it's many small steps.
That's great to say.
And
yeah.
Constant.
Yeah.
And this, as we learned earlier, mm-hmm. It's called the wind and water method.
Mm-hmm.
The wind and water method. And I want to share something that happened to me. It was quite unusual over the last couple of months, actually. I've noticed it. And when I discuss this, you know, we've talked about, okay, place the attention on the human biological machine, and it starts to awaken. And I've had that sensation. I know what that feels like, and I know what it feels like to stand in this higher vibratory sensation called the essential self, the non-phenomenal body, the core of my home, in a sense. But this happened about 2 months ago, and I actually shared it with a couple of people. In this particular case, the very first time it happened, I was sitting in what I would call a meditation state. It was very quiet. It was very, I was by myself. And I was in a good space, whatever the heck that meant. And then I thought, I'm going to really place my attention on the human biological machine. Now, that particular time, something happened that I'd never seen before. I felt the machine, not only did it wake up, which in part means that it's the egos of the machine fell, but this time, I had this sensation that the machine itself turned and looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it looked at the essential self. It was like, and it felt like a little puppy dog looking at the essential self. What can I do? What can I do? And that's when I got the sensation of the great electrical force that is the human biological machine. And that great deal of force suddenly was at my disposal for that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened a couple of times since then. It's very odd.
What did you do with it after that?
I didn't do anything with it. I just sat with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Sandra's had some very unique experiences, and it's not like that continues, but it's like you know now. You know that you can go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole system has given you permission that you can be in that different space then. It's available to you if you have sensed it. And if you've sensed it in a whole being manner, that path is available to you at any point. So I'm a newbie in regards to that particular way of, and that particular type of sensation. It was very unusual.
It gives you a great contrast from, as we go reflect back on chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep of the machine.
Sleep of the machine in the awakened state, and how we have to look at it backwards. We have to look at it on contrast, a contrast rather than a direct.
Yeah, I got a couple of comments here. Zazen, the HBM may allow the essential self to manifest more fully, flowing through the physical body, mental, emotional, and moving.
Very good.
And Pianjo says, the cart pushes the horse, which pulls the cart, which pushes the horse.
Nice.
That's a great experience, David. Good. Really,
yeah,
fantastic. Marianne says.
How long did it last? How long was that experience?
I would say about, I wasn't actually near a clock, so I couldn't tell, but I would say for about maybe 3 minutes, maybe five,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such an odd sensation. of it, and I could feel the energy, but focused on the essential self. And I've found it a couple of times since then. But part of what we're doing is we're practicing, right? We're practicing this stuff.
David, can you say more about how you found it?
Yeah. It took me about 30 years to find it. Or
no,
something.
I mean the later find.
Oh.
You said you found it since. How did
did you
use a feeling to go back to it?
I call it, I'm careful on that particular word, Sandra, because I don't want to associate the kind of feeling that I'm about to mention with the regular feelings of the human biological machine.
Yep.
Rather, the particular, I like to use the word sensing. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, this idea of navigating with a form of mood. And I could, like, it's like I can't necessarily do it right at the second because I'm not that schooled at it. But like I could find where to go. I knew about where it was, if that makes sense.
You found the mood.
Well, I let the mood guide me, in a sense.
Right.
To it. I wish I understood it better, so I could explain it better for everybody, but...
No, I understand it. I just wanted you to elucidate that it is a mood that you move to look for it again.
Okay.
But you actually were putting yourself into a particular state. It didn't just come over you, right? You sought to You sought it out rather than it seeking you?
Oh, yeah, no. I go through
my... You sensed it out.
Pardon?
You sensed it out.
Yeah.
Sensed it out.
I go through my day. This is not work that we do on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is work we do 24/7. We do it all the time. When the show ends in 20 minutes or so, I don't stop with the exercise. I get up. I help put some of the equipment away. While I'm doing it, I focus my attention on the human biological machine. I walk out to my car, attempting to sense that, and being like kind of excited and interested when I find these areas where I'm not. It's interesting, or I forget totally. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. I went up to the hot dog vendor, and I said to the hot dog vendor, he says, "What do you have?" I says, "Make me one with everything."
And he did, right?
It's a Buddhist joke, okay?
And he did, too. You're everything.
And what were these little sensations we have of the essential self, the non-phenomenal self, literally, as Silverdale is telling us, we're connected at that moment with the absolute. That is the channel that we flow through. So we strengthen it. And that's part of our responsibility as little bits of the absolute is to, that's, we were given that and we were put in these machines somehow, some way, some reason, partly to work and reflect. And you'll notice, work and reflect so we can enhance in a sense. And as so many, my favorite is Spinoza, and as he talking about human freedom, which actually means merging with the absolute. He talks about, and then you, as it were, and those are his terms, as it were, you see through the eyes of God. You become no more. You're a vessel. And in the vessel, you attempt to clean the vessel enough so that perception can manifest itself. And there's a lot it goes on with that as we go through our life. There's much, much work to do.
I think it's interesting that you said that you spend some time after the show going, you know, continuing on doing the exercises. But what just hit me is that you don't always go into those states. You don't always, but still you're trying. So you're doing these mini steps all the time.
Nice.
And these continual forays into working with these ideas.
Huh.
And then you've got a 3 to 5 minute glimpse, which now is a bit, you know, it was a big thing. And yet it was in relative time. Very short amount of time, but you got something huge. And I think it's interesting that we spend these little things thinking that we're not getting anywhere, and then all of a sudden something big happens.
And we have to ask ourselves, M.A., you have to ask ourselves, what can I do right now? What can I do? Mm-hmm. Let's say you're just locked in sleep. Or your greatest desire on the planet is to go to sleep. And you work very hard to go to sleep. As long as you do it well. And, you know, we It's like, what can I do now? What can I do right this second?
That's good. That's good, because we need to remember those little things. That's very difficult. You know, we're kind of in a rarefied moment here where we're talking about it and we're all focused on it. But when we walk away, what happens? We have these little trying to remember moments to do it.
And Simon, when you go down to L.A., you're going to discover the true meaning of what traffic is.
Okay.
Zazen has that glorious experience of traffic, because he's down in that region. And you'll be sitting in traffic, and the machine will want to do certain things.
Yeah.
And that's when you do it.
Now, what can I? Well, to your questions, thank you for the advice, David. To your questions, what can we do now? I would say to really keep activating the machine and activating those key centers, emotional and mental, with the right activation, the right work in those centers.
So I want to... Actually, can you get back to and read Zazen's comment again, please?
The human biological machine may allow the essential self to manifest more fully, flowing through the physical body, mental and emotional and moving. Centers, I imagine.
Yes. So... What the challenge of this particular chapter is not a mental challenge. It's a higher mental centrum challenge. It's to learn to change the habit and the way we think. We want to think of us as being this physical, mental, emotional thing. Look, there it is. That's me. But what if you could suspend the judgment as to what that is me is, and you could begin to think in terms of, this is an electrical field, and I'm going to activate that electrical field. What if you walked around like that? I happen to know certain individuals that do walk around like that, that do, because of many years of work and what I call enhanced sensitivity, live in that manner. They're aware of the fact that it's a physical thing too, and they pay homage to that, but they walk through with that different sensation, the sensation that I am in an electrical field. It depersonalizes you a little bit. There you go. You got it.
I was just thinking of that movie, What the Bleep. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
That part of the movie where they showed the water responding.
Yeah.
And how EJ has always said that we are in a saltwater computer.
Yeah.
And so if we're water, and they've demonstrated that water responds like that, I don't know, you know, it kind of gives me a hint that...
Let me ask you a question about that, then. Mm-hmm. So if you're an electric, what is it, a saltwater computer?
Saltwater computer.
So if you're a saltwater computer, and your saltwater computer...
Conductor.
You're a conductor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does your saltwater computer affect other saltwater computers that you come to?
Well, I think that that if you put two batteries next to one another...
Something happens,
right? Something happens, yeah.
So if we are electrical fields and these fields start to interact, something happens. So what's the quality that you bring to the baseball game? You know, what do you bring to the party when you go and... You hang out with your friends. What is it that you are emanating? It's something, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something.
And what about the idea that if you start to wake up your machine and you're around somebody, that perhaps that that can help them to wake up.
Have you ever noticed that?
I think I have.
You think you have?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
Well, I think that would be kind of hard to give an example, but that I can think of. But the idea that somebody else could, just through proximity, could have their electrical field changed simply by being in proximity to my electrical field, which I'm working on to well, I think we're still at the looking part. You know, I don't want to do the changing part yet. I don't think we're there in the book for the changing part. I think we're still in the looking part. But but experiences happen, whether we're looking for them or not.
Do you play the guitar?
I should say I've taken a few lessons.
You heard about a guitar once. Oh, I see. If you pluck the string on a guitar and there's another guitar next to it, what happens?
Oh, yeah. It'll tone to that.
It's a resonance.
Yeah, it's a resonance. Mm-hmm.
So if you are, in fact, an electrical field, you will interact with others in that manner. Now, let's say that you are in the whatever the heck is meant by the waking state, and you, let's say you walk into, well, when you go to Starbucks or something, someone may notice you. Why would they notice you? Because something in them is looking, and Sandra, they're sensing. And sometimes this kind of sensing of mood is, it's open. They're open to it.
But they might not be that happy about it.
They might not be that happy, but they but they might notice.
Mm-hmm.
Their attention
sometimes
may be caught.
Yeah. If they're not...
Even if I may add to what you said, Marianne, even though if they are not happy about it, it's another example of the exchanges of energies too.
Yeah.
Of the electrical fields.
Well, if they're not happy about it, the energy is not exchanged. The waves just slam into one another and it dies. That's a physical property.
Nicely put.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about relationship. Relating, not relationship.
Yeah, but the point that I wanted to say is that the person noticed something and comes in an attitude and some feeling or something. So the two fields are relating and somehow, not in the harmonious way, but are relating.
And we're still going to work on it, whether somebody else likes it or not. You know.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if Mark Roche is online or not. But a few weeks ago, he posed the question: how do you know when you can help someone? And the answer is when you're able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. But if we start down this path, we may realize that we have great responsibility. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we talked about the chapter on aims a few weeks ago. Aims that are attainable by us, these are the aims we're talking about. The aims of accepting the responsibility of the awakened machine. And I guarantee you that there are individuals who are in that state. And they sense that they are an electrical field. There's not a confusion about that. There's a simplicity about it. So if that becomes a working assumption for you, and it takes time to change the habit of behavior, and we think of ourselves as physical thing, but that's the primary way of looking at it. What I'm saying is, can we change the fundamental assumption and say something different, see it something in a different manner, and call it, I am an electrical field. This is an electrical field. suddenly the energy of that electrical field can be used by me as a transformational energy. And it starts to develop the essential self in a different manner. And George has given us the hint, Silverdale's given us the hint of this idea of a higher vibratory sensation. And at that point, we begin to move into seeing that we are one with everything, that we're just part of a universal energy field. But that's down the road a bit. Right now, we can take small baby steps. Thoughts, comments, additions, subtractions, multiplications. I'll take square roots. How about
Fibonacci numbers?
Fibonacci numbers.
Oh yeah, Fibonacci, the good old monk. Four bosses. It's happening to my husband. He is more expressive with his thoughts and feelings, which is all new to him. I am only observing and enjoying, and very smooth and delightful. Anyways, that's it.
Yeah, so there's an individual, Four Paws, who's worked for a number of years in this manner, and it's having an effect. I know it's had an effect on her, and now it's having an effect on the person she lives with every day.
Mm-hmm.
We are an electrical cloud walking through the world. What do we do with that? And as you begin to sense yourself as that, you begin to see other electrical clouds that you interact with. You go through the day and you see, and you'll note, boy, that one's like this, this one's like that. And you'll get data directly. But we change our thinking. We have to change our thinking, and we see something new and different. How we doing?
Good.
We doing okay?
Good thing.
Yeah, pretty ducky here. No comments.
Good. All right.
I keep going back to that word relating. Even when we think about reflexes and sensing deep inside the body, it seems like relating is a word, an activity that all of this is about. And in fact, when I woke up for that day, relating was what I was doing, but I was doing it the way you were doing it when you were in your state. I was doing it with a mood, but I was getting scads of information by relating that way.
And I think
so. Go ahead.
If you place in as a fundamental premise that you are an electrical field, just start with that. Don't try to do anything else, quote unquote. You are an electrical field. And just take that on for a while and see what does it feel like to know that that's the case. What is it like as you go through? And a different set of assumptions will come to you, a different set of impressions. And as you said on that particular day, your, I don't know, knowledge, what you perceive, I don't know if it's greater than, but it's certainly fundamentally different. You're seeing in what I call, you're seeing into the shadow worlds, but it's just as bright in those worlds if you see and your eyes are cleared and you see something different and you see it from a different point of view. And you do that by working and working and working every day in every mode you can. And then it becomes something different. You have a different life.
Good advice.
I always think, too, in the word relationship, and as I understand relationship as the word, is when you have something in common, two things to relate have to have something in common, and then they interact. The interaction happens in different levels. It doesn't have to be harmonious, and it can be harmonious, but they relate.
Well, you had, you indicated, you had a very nice way of putting it. You said, we are in a partnership. The essential self is in partnership with the human biological machine. And that's the form of relationship that we use, and we can use that. And that's the critical work that we're getting from E.J. Gold in this book. Very interesting to lay it out in a sense. And you see it in that kind of formulation. And he says, and you can do it. You can do it. So, are we there?
Yes, we are on.
Oh, yes.
Good. So anything else for this evening? Are we, any other questions? Or MA has something for us?
Well, just something that Sandra said. I think that it sounded like, Sandra, that you said that you got a great amount of information all at once. And I've had that experience where all of a sudden you get something opens and you get some direct information. That it's rare, I believe, in our lifetime to experience that. You don't often run into people saying that that has happened to them. But I think that it all starts with these small steps, and as David was saying, just this observation. And it's continuing. And even if that happens to us, we go on from there, because now we even have more to work on than we ever had before. So I think what happens is people maybe stop after that point. But I think that those are beginnings. So we need to even work harder and harder and remember to observe ourselves all the time to watch this relationship.
It's as if those experiences were signposts that says, this is where you can get to. This is where you can get to.
Mm-hmm.
You as a particular voyager, the signpost was big and strong saying, that's what you can do. Now, our job is to do the heavy lifting to get back there. We have to have this, and it creates, by doing that constant literal work, we build the foundation that allows us to stay there when we get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing with those kinds of small, consistent efforts is we are creating essential habits. Essential habits that vary from the habits of the historical personality and the sleeping machine. So our quest here, as hunters that we are, our quest is to establish and become part of essential habits rather than the habits of the old machine. And we have that opportunity. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be seeing this idea of repairing the machine and helping us harvest some of that energy, as well as going forward, and suddenly we're introduced to the essential self as an electrical field as well. A lot of exciting things after that. So anyway, thanks so much for coming this evening, and I look forward to seeing most of us back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And Simon, good voyages to you. And
thank
we look
you,
forward
thanks.
To joining us when you return and in any way you're able to.
No, I will try my best to join you at least online.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Goodbye, Marianne. Bye, David.
Happy All travels.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye. I'll be next week with you, eh? Next week I'll be there with you.
You'll be here next week. It's the week after this.
Okay.
So we look forward to seeing you then.
Okie dokie. Likewise. Great to see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.